you know, and then enter the music track, you know, and I was like,
Love Talk
so, you know, the whole time I'm talking to her, I'm thinking 007.
General Quarters, Security Condition 3.
GQ, Security 3, sir. General Quarters 3, intruder alert. GQ 3, intruder alert.
No, it's not an intruder, I go through this all the time. Please come in. I know you're here, Lana. Wait, come on in the door. Please forgive my doorman. He gets a little overexcited. You know, that's what happens when you hire retirees.
Well, that is too cute. I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I said, did she know I was a Trekkie beforehand? Like, I am the ultimate Star Trek chick for real.
Oh, really? Oh, how perfect.
Yeah.
This is a beautiful synchronicity moment. Lana, I'm so glad to hear that. And welcome for your first visit to Madame Perry's Salon. And so glad you made it here and glad you got past the doorman. I guess you probably need the Trekkie handshake. And as you look around,
there you go.
Just have a seat. Wherever feels comfortable for you, as you look around here, you've probably noticed some things are different about Madame Perry's Salon. And it was first coined by author Robert Leland Taylor, who, when he was in here, said, it looks like the inside of Jeannie's bottle. So if you look around, that's why there's so many pillows and stuff in here. So just find a cozy place, sit down, and let's chat.
That's so cool, and I thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to sit down and get comfortable and talk to you.
Oh, good. So, to everyone there, welcome to Madame Perry's Salon. It's another fantastic show. You know, Madame Perry's Salon was first a blog and then became a podcast. And the salon comes from is inspired by the literary and cultural and musical salons that were popular back in Europe, the United Kingdom, and Asia, centuries past, and this is where I created here. So it's a conversation. So if you'd like to call in later and speak to Lana Reed, you are welcome to do so. And this is how I make it to a cyber salon. And I'm fortunate enough to meet the most fascinating people. And, of course, I bring them here to you, my swinging salon fans. So, Lana Reed.
She is wonderful herself.
It's so sensational. I know. It's a sensational Lana Reed, so please forgive me. She's a media personality, a TV host, and she's an author, a motivational speaker. Am I leaving anything out, Lana?
Oh, just a little bit. I'm a cat lover. I have two four-legged critters. I think those are that's the most important attribute to me is my two cats. Those are the special things to me. So I'm a cat lady.
Oh, Lord. Wait, I hope Becky Kyle, if you know Becky Kyle on Amazon, she's
yes.
Rebecca McFarlane Kyle. She's a reviewer and was a judge for the Amazon Breakout Novel Awards. But she's all got this thing about cat hammocks. There's a little hammock. I don't know if you've seen them, that your cats can hang in and hang out.
Oh, too cute. Too cute, see, you know, and then I think my critters would fit well hanging out in the salon with us. So, you know, if they got that vibe and that essence, that relaxed, peaceful kind of state of being, and, you know, let's just sit down for conversation. So
critters
we're ready and I'm
welcome. Critters are welcome and beloved and respected here. The only problem they have, if you look around, you might see this, is the first time they go through those beaded curtains, you know, if they're not from the 60s. That's a little, you know, that take a moment. But once they get through the first time, they're fine.
But, yeah, I think you covered everything. I really try to be humble and low-key about it. But I've done a couple of things in my going to be 47 years. I've done a few things.
Wow. Because, yeah, because you also describe yourself, though, as a constant work in progress.
Yes. You know, I think we should all be. I mean, I don't think that you should ever get in a comfortable state and say that I have arrived, I have worked on everything, and I'm perfect, and there's no opportunity to better myself in any sort of way, because I think that's the lie that you're going to start living in. So always look for areas that you can improve on. And I think especially when you get up there in age, you kind of think that, oh, I've done it all, I've seen it all, you know, this is where it's at, I'm at this place. And, you know, no, there's still other levels that you could take yourself to, other places you could evolve to, you know. So I like to say that I'm a constant work in progress. I like to meet people because I feel when you touch somebody's life, their life touches you, and you learn from them. You know, I learn from the five-year-old that I encounter at the store who's, you know, irritating me because her mother's not keeping her in line, and I you know, and I learn when I go to sit and talk to my mother on the porch who's 65. So I just take every opportunity to, you know, just grow and learn from the experience and say, you know, what is the value that I'm supposed to get from this experience? And, I've gotten quite a few lessons from the kid in the store. Like, ooh-wee, goodness gracious, mine is 21. Thank you very much.
Oh, I understand that. Well, now, I don't know where to begin with you. I don't know where you're from.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll start at the beginning. And you just, I was born in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I always brag because I'm so, so proud of my parents. My parents were boyfriend and girlfriend from 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, and then they got married in the 12th grade, and then I came July after 12th grade year. So my parents were teenage parents, and the older I have gotten, the more I appreciate that. To be 18 and be responsible for grooming somebody else's life, when you're still growing yourself, you know, you have no clue. I mean, you have to think back at 18. What did you know, Madam Jen Perry, right? I mean, you know, so, you know, you know, to raise a child. You know, because certainly me, I mean, I'm being totally honest, at 18, you could have not plopped the baby in my hand and like, here, go. It would have been total chaos. Total chaos. But, you know, every chance I get, you know, I tell my parents that, you know, I really appreciate, you know, the fact that they buckled down and, you know, that they made it work. They were truly the essence of teamwork, you know. And so they were 18 and I came along, and Winston-Salem, North Carolina is sort of a factory town. You've got Haynes there, you've got R.J. Reynolds there. So my dad, you know, in an effort to support his family, his new family, he got a job at the R.J. Reynolds tobacco factory. And he was coming home, and he was miserable. He was coming home, he was miserable. And, you know, my mom was like, okay, it's clear you don't like this factory job. And Winston-Salem, I want to give my daughter more experiences than Winston-Salem. So you're going to go down to the recruiter's office, and you're going to sign up for the military. And I've checked all four of them out. And she says, it seems like the Air Force would be best for you. So you're going into the Air Force. And lo and behold, he went down there and signed up for the Air Force. And that is how the three of us ended up getting out of Winston-Salem. You know, I think the first tour of duty my dad had, that he had enough rank where we could go as a family. We were stationed in Florida. And from there, we moved on to Okinawa, Japan. And from there, we moved to Europe. So, yeah. So, you know, my mother had this, you know, at 18, she had this bigger than small city vision, and her husband and her child, you know, they were going to do what they had to do to get away from it and experience this world and give their little child, me, you know, this wonderful plethora of experiences and diversity of the type of people that are out there. And, you know, I just, like I could not commend them enough for, you know, the foresight and the determination that they had. Just
oh,
beautiful,
my gosh.
Just beautiful people. Yes, yes.
I mean,
I love my
awesome. Listen. I mean, they're phenomenal people. I mean, you come from quality people because they were young. I mean, they were very, I mean, they sound like a very classy and intelligent couple because they were sweethearts from a young age all the way through, had you, and then immediately, like I said, if I'd been married at 18, I don't know which way, I wouldn't have known which way to turn. okay? I mean, I knew how to cook and clean the house, but I probably wouldn't know what to. Whereas, you know, your mom knew your daddy didn't like this job, so rather than say, well, that's too bad, you got to do it, you know, or something, she just, okay. She was the Ways and Means Committee, okay? She went and found it, checked it out. Here's the assortment. I checked them all out. You go, and I mean, she changed. And plus, like you said, she had a bigger vision of what she wanted for them as far as opportunities and for you for opportunities to see the world. And she sounds like quite a lady.
She is a 4'11" She is a 4'11" pistol. She has now moved back home to Winston-Salem, and she's the neighborhood watch person. She's on all the committees in the city about, you know, planning, and, you know, she does all of, you know, the efforts in the community with the political drives and all that stuff. So she's still kicking butt in Winston-Salem. She's still doing the same thing. You know, she's just 65 and doing it. So she's just still a little
she
ball of fire.
Still a role model. Still a fantastic role model. And I guess you wouldn't try to get anything past her even now.
No, no, definitely not.
Now
definitely
people try to get something past their parents or whatever. Nor would you want to.
Not at all. I just have the utmost respect. I have the utmost respect for her. And, you know, the one thing, you know, my dad, he always says, you know, he's like, you know, when I couldn't pull my weight, you know, she did. And when she couldn't pull her weight, you know, I did. She said we were truly a team when it came to parenting you. And, you know, that's just what I recall, you know, all these years with them. And, you know, when I had my daughter and when I got married, you know, I tried to emulate so, you know, much of what they had given me. And, you know, I cannot speak enough for not to say that everybody's everybody's perfect, because we don't get these rule books, you know, of life, but they did a phenomenal job. And I tried to do the same things, the kinds of things, you know, when it came to my time to be a mother and a wife and such like that. I think there's a phrase, right? It says behind every good man, there's a good woman or something like that, right?
And it sounds, but what a great team they made. And what great role models they were for you. So then you travel the world, so you're very cosmopolitan. You've seen the world. But where, going on up in your life a little further up, because we're not going to go all the way like, okay, and then I started third grade. You know, we're not going to go that far. But
no problem.
But when did you, then you grew up, you know, you were at school, got married. When did you begin to write?
I had always written from such a young age. I'm an only child, so, you know, you spend a lot of time by yourself trying to entertain yourself. So writing became one of those things. I think my mother gave me a diary when I was little, and I started doing that. I still have them in the garage, and it's rather embarrassing to go back and read that I was entertained by the fact that, you know, so-and-so didn't speak to me in the hallway. But, you know, so I started writing at a young age. And it's just amazing when you go back and see how you were when you were like 5 or 6 or 12. And you're like, I worried about that? Like, really? Oh, my gosh.
The things that seemed so big and nearly insurmountable then, and you look back and go, really? That got me wound
up. I'm
going
to
really?
Die. He didn't sit next to me at lunch. I'm just going to die. The world is coming to an end, and I don't know what to do with myself. Thank goodness for growth. Oh. Thank goodness for growth. But anyway, so, you know, I've always been the kid that sat down and wrote, because it was a lot of time, you know, by myself trying to entertain myself. And I started publishing little articles here and there in college. When my dad got out the service, we, as a family, we ended up in California. So I went to UCLA. So shout out to the Bruins, UCLA Bruins.
Yeah.
And you know, I think what really propelled me into writing and got me as a published author, so to speak, my first book, my husband of 12 years, June 22nd, 2002, he went out to hang out with friends one night, and he never came home. He was shot and killed. And my daughter, Yeah, my daughter was 7. I was 32 at the time. So 12 years of marriage, 32. I become a single mother and a widow. And I'm trying to, you know, in that process, I'm trying to cope, trying to, you know, stay strong because I have this little child to stay strong for. And I had taken some time off of work so I could make sure that she was emotionally stable. So I, you know, make sure I was there to take her to school, pick her up. You know, she had me at night, you know, when she woke up and she was, you know, worried or crying. Or I just wanted to be there for her. So in that downtime of not having anything to entertain me and myself and my thoughts when I was grieving, I started to write. And, you know, I started to write kind of little love notes to my late husband, little things that we shared that were important to me about our relationship, some of the things that I had learned about being married. And that's the, you know, I like to tell couples this all the time when I talk about relationships. Marriage is good and it's bad and it's not, you know, it's not perfect 365 days a year. So you have to acknowledge that, you know, you're going to have some bad days as long as you have more good days than bad days. So I started to write about everything that, you know, the relationships are. And, you know, so I put this book, you know, I said, well, let me just throw this out here. You know, this is me. This is my soul. This is my gut. You know, let me throw this book out here and see what happens. And lo and behold, everybody just embraced it to my surprise, you know. It just really, the reception was way too overwhelming for me. And I think that's what started the further writing. And that's also what started the speaking thing, which, to tell you the truth, I was this shy, only child kind of person. Like, if I could blend into the back of the wall, that would be me. You know, so my mother kind of laughs at me now, like, you get up in front of thousands of people and speak? Is this my baby girl who would, like, trip over her own 2 feet and, like, you know, blend in? And I was like, you know, Mom, life takes you on a course sometimes, and you just got to roll with it. But, you know, I think I tell everybody, There is something beneficial in everything that happens. And I think the beauty of what happened when, for me, when my husband was taken from me, is my writing came into place in my life. And that was the small gift that was given to me during that time.
You had, and listen, I'm your soul sister in that aspect of, I was one that was so shy, I could not even answer my name and roll. Forget about getting in front of the class for anything. I would shake so hard I couldn't hold a paper anyway. And then later, you know, years later, I had a jazz band, and people I would just ever went to high school with would be so shocked if they ever saw me singing in front of 1,000 people or more, because I couldn't even say my own name in the classroom. So I know what you're talking about. It would be like, you know, she does this? She's doing this? She never said anything. she was terrified to speak in school. So, I'm your... I know how it feels. I've traveled that journey with you. So now let me ask you too, that you had an interesting beginning with your husband. You were both kind of like wingmen, like a
you know,
as a double date couple, weren't you?
Oh, well, me and my girlfriend, she's actually my goddaughter's mother. We were out about town, so to speak, at a club. And, you know, after the, I don't know how it is there in your younger days, but, you know, after the nightclub, everybody goes to eat at, like, IHOPs or Denny's or whatever, right?
Oh, yeah.
So
we do the same thing in Atlanta,
okay? Okay. So after the club, me and my girlfriend, you know, we were going to go get something to eat at IHOPs, and I didn't have any money. So I said, let me stop at the ATM machine, you know, and get some money out the ATM machine so we can go to IHOPs. So I pulled up to a Bank of America ATM machine on Sunset Boulevard, and this car drives by with two guys, and they start yelling out the window, which, you know, I hate. I just can't stand the whole, hey, baby, you know, hey, baby, hey, how you doing? Hi, you know. So they pulled over the car, and, you know, my husband, he kind of came out the car and kind of came close enough, but not too close, because I am at the ATM machine. So he started, you know, hey, baby, do, you know, the lines that the guys give.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up going, we ended up going to IHOP and having breakfast, and I did not like him. I did not like him at all. He was arrogant. He was so sure of himself, and he was like, "Yeah, I know you like me because I'm just so handsome." And I was like, "Dude, you're not that cute. Like, really? I don't know what." So, my girlfriend, she really liked his guy, the guy that he was with. But she refused to go out with him unless we double dated. So what happened was, you know, our friend Jody, you know, she wanted to continue to go out with his friend Greg. And so that kind of propelled me and Steve into this double date situation time and time again. You know, he kept on with the, "Yeah, you know, you like me. You might as well just tell your mother, you know, you're going to marry me." And I was looking at him like, "Dude, I don't like anything about you. Where are you getting this from? I don't." And, you know, lo and behold, Jody and Greg are not together. And then, you know, here it is, you know, me and Steve end up getting married. And it was just so comical to everybody because I couldn't stand him. I mean, I really couldn't stand him.
Oh.
You know, but that, I mean, I guess, you know, some people say that's how it happens, right? You know, but he kept with me, you know, when he saw me and he said, you know, "You were the one and I'm not going to let up." And he just kept on, you know, "You're going to be mine." And I was like, "Go away somewhere, go." But yeah, so that was it. Thanks to Jody and Greg, you know, Jody not wanting to go out with Greg without double dating, you know, it forced me and Steve to kind of, you know, be together time and time again. And, you know, slowly but surely, you know, he wore me down. And I best, aww, you know, I tell her, you know, when you, it's truly a best friend. I mean, you know, he was truly my best friend before he was my husband. And I really think that's how, you know, it should be, you know, but just a wonderful, wonderful guy. Wonderful guy, wonderful father, wonderful husband, a wonderful friend. I mean, just a beautiful spirit, just a beautiful spirit.
But it sounds like it. I mean, reading your story too on your website, yes, it does sound like just a very, very, very special relationship. And I've got a caller joining us here.
Oh,
and
hi, caller.
Welcome to Madam.
Hi.
Welcome to Madam Perry Salon.
Hi, Madam Perry. It's Sherry Meeks. How are you?
Oh, I am doing fabulously.
Hi,
Lana.
Lana, I wanted to make sure said it correctly. I'm going to be on your show in a week or so, and I just wanted to say hello and thank you so much.
Hi, dear.
How are you doing?
I am wonderfully well. I hear that country twang there, you know.
Hey, I'm a Georgia girl. I'm a Georgia girl.
Okay. Awesome. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to have a good time. We're going to have a good time.
Yes. I can tell. Mm. But I just wanted to pop in real quick and say hello.
Okay. You have a wonderful
thank
one.
Thank you.
You too. All right. Talk to you later, Madam Perry.
Yes, you will, dear. Thank you so much. Bye-bye, Sherry Meeks. Okay, she is so much fun.
Too cute. Too cute.
Oh, yeah.
I love bubbly personalities. I love happiness, you know. I love joy. There's so many things around this world that are so depressing and such a bummer. So, you know, when you surround yourself with people that have some love for life energy, it's just such a beautiful thing. Such a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is. And that's one thing, you know, I think you can, you know, in school and so forth, growing up, you're kind of stuck where you're stuck with the people around you. I think that's one of the privileges of being an adult is that you get to where you can choose who you want to spend
that's
your
right.
time with. And life is too short and too precious to spend with anybody that has negative vibes all the time. And I took a trip went to Book Expo America, and Sherry went because she was a featured author. Her sister Kim is a musician, and my best friend Kenya Colbert went with me. And the four of us up there, I mean, you know, you think, oh my gosh, you know, we all get along well. Well, there's too much togetherness on the trip, mess anything up. But we laughed all the way there. We laughed all the way back on the plane. I mean, it just, you know, it was just such, it was like a revival of the spirit, you know, when you're just that, when you're around good vibe people, enjoy them so much. And I know that you believe this because you have a philosophy Lana, about life, saying that when life throws crap at us, mm-hmm. as it will, what's mm-hmm. our choice?
Rise above it. Don't wallow in it. You know, and this is one of the things, and some people used to tell me that I was really harsh, you know, but when my husband was killed, I had a talk with my daughter a couple of months afterwards, because she's always been very aware, intelligently aware, you know, and I told her, I said, babe, you know, I know we are together, we're going through this loss, but I don't want you to ever say to yourself, I couldn't do this. I suffered this. I couldn't be the best that I could be because I grew up without a father. I don't want to ever hear you say that because, you know, the reality is there's people out here that, you know, just for example's sake, you know, are homeless with one leg and blind in one eye, but, you know, they go on to graduate college mm-hmm. and open a business or whatever. So if these people can overcome those kind of behind-the-ball setbacks, really, what is my excuse? You know, why should I sit and mope and moan about my circumstances if these people here are overcoming all of these challenges? And, I mean, really, you know, why sit, what benefit is mm-hmm. that to not only myself but the people around me? I mean, there's only so much a person around you can take. And, you know, I'm responsible in my situation. I was responsible for the well-being of a child. So I couldn't afford to, you know, mentally just rock back and forth, you know, for two or three, you know, I had to pick it up and keep it pushing, you know, so it's mm-hmm. a choice that you make. It's a choice that you make. And sometimes you run into people, and I know you have too, you know, Madam Perry, that, oh my God, you know, they're such the victim and, you know, he did me this way and life is wrong. Or, mm-hmm. you know, they go to a job every day and I really, this job sucks and I really hate it, but they don't do anything to get out the job. And you're just looking at them like, really, 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 like there are real problems out here, and you really.
Well, you know, I know it's like I have another blog of essays that I plan to publish into a book. It's called Memoirs of a Misanthrope. And I've had so many strange things happen to me. And I'm sure, I think you understand this, like where things happen and you're thinking, okay, this can't be really happening. Maybe this was given to me as a story, you know. And one
yes,
was a job, a temp job I worked. It was a call center for a bank. And I worked the night shift, so late, you know, 3 to midnight. And this mm-hmm. woman beside me that I really liked, but she would say, we'd get into work, you know, and I'd say, just say, you know, some days when I come in here and sit down to work, I just think I'd rather be in a pine box headed to the cemetery. Everything, you know, this is how we start our shift. And then when the clock's going toward the end of it, she goes, well, you've only, because we worked a half-hour shift difference, you've only got something like, yeah, she's like, you've only got 20 times around the clock before you have to leave, you know, 20 minutes.
Oh,
I have four. It's like, oh, come on. I go, come on, please. You have to tell me. You know, I was trying to not know so it would be a surprise to me. And it go by faster.
Yeah. It's like, why do you want me to wallow in misery with you? I'm trying to be positive. Go somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and sometimes you can like people and do your best to try to lighten them up. Like, okay, come on, yes, I know you don't like it. I understand. But come on, let's just try to perk it up,
mm-hmm.
you know, a little bit.
Yeah.
But and then, of course, on the other side, I had a woman who would sometimes come up with these old show tunes or Tom Lehrer songs and kind of thought, well, at least it was goofy, but it was fun. You know, she kept my
yes.
spirits up.
Because,
like,
I mean, if we got to be here, we might as well make it entertaining. You know, we got to do this shift. You know, we have to get through this. You know, granted, it's not the optimal place we'd like to be right now.
Yeah.
You know, the beach, Bahamas with a drink and a
oh,
sun
yeah.
hat probably would be better. But, you know, we're here. So let's make the best of it, you know. And so much
yeah.
of the death march attitude, like, oh, you've got 20 times around the clock. I don't want to hear that.
I'd rather be with a pine box. I mean, really. But let me, so now, then somewhere along the way, you, so you became a writer. And I need to know, where does this all fit in? You also became a media personality, and you've got with your own shows, and LinkedIn and a motivational speaker.
You know, Madam Perry, life just threw me a whole bunch of curveballs, and I just ran with it. I just, because where I am today is not where I even could have imagined. I went to college to be a child psychiatrist. That is by training what I am. Yes, by training, that is what I am. Where I'm at today, what I'm doing, is so far away from my little days at UCLA. But, you know, that's when you have to understand, you know, the faith. You know, you have to say, I have been given this course for a reason. Clearly, this is the path that, you know, something, you know, I don't know what your religion is or whatever, but your higher being is saying to you, this is where I want you to go. This is the journey. This is the path that you have to take. And, you know, you accept that, because if you don't, you know, that's when you start bumping your head into walls and wondering why I can't get anywhere, because you're not walking in the path that you were birthed to be walking into. You know, everybody has a calling. You know, some of us are, you know, born to bake cake. Some of us are born to bake cake. Some of us are born to, you know, cut grass, you know, and some of us are born to be motivational speakers and inspire people. And I never would have thought that would have been me. Like we talked earlier, I was the shy kid who wanted to blend into the back of the wall. Clearly, I don't have anything that could motivate anybody to do anything. I mean, unless you want to come over here and stand against the wall with me, I mean, that's the only motivation I have. But, you know, everything that I am doing now, really, I fell into. You know, when I wrote the book to heal for my husband, then I started doing the speaking thing, and then the seminars and the traveling and meeting people. And, you know, Lana, I need your energy here. And Lana, I need your energy here. And can you do this? And can you do that? And I think 3 years ago, a friend of mine, you know, had approached me about doing a radio show. And, you know, so I was like, okay, well, you know, I mean, it's not really going to take up that much time. You know, I don't know what anybody wants to hear me run my mouth for, you know, an hour or so. But if you think so, okay, we could try it. You know, and here it is 3 years later. You know, we're at it. And, you know, I'm syndicated all the way to Bermuda, South Africa, and England, you know. So, I mean, it's truly been a blessing. And, just recently, I started this project, these video chats with men. I have always been that girl, that one girl that hangs out with the guys. You know, that's always been me. The company of men has always been a little bit more comforting to me, I guess, than, you know, clusters of girls. Mm-hmm. You know, I love you guys to death, but we can tend to be a little cackling, backbiting at times, you know. So, you know, you kind of know where you're standing when you know you're hanging out with the fellas.
That's true.
You know, so it's sad. You know, I wish as co-sisters in this world that we embraced and supported each other a little bit more. But sometimes it's very competitive when you hang out with large clusters of women. So over the years, you know, I've adopted a lot of big brothers, you know, the way. And, you know, so I've always listened to, you know, what the men have to say when it comes to, you know, relationships and, you know, how they feel about certain things. So I was having a conversation with some girls, and the girls were giving each other advice about some guy. And I was like, this doesn't make any sense. This really doesn't make any sense. You know, like that Geico commercial, like the old lady's like, that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works, you know. And I said, you should ask, if you have a question about a man, who better to ask than another man? You know, why is he doing this? You know, because I don't know why he's doing that. I'm a female, you know, I don't know why. So, you know, I came up with this thing, you know, let me sit down and talk to some guys about, you know, marriage and dating and, you know, what do guys really think when girls are posting those selfies on Instagram? You know, is that the type of woman you want to bring home to meet your wife or whatever? And if it's not, then, you know, why you guys click like so much? And, you know, those kinds of things, you know. How do you co-parent after a divorce, you know, and or other situations? How do you know a woman is the one? You know, how do you know as a man? How do you know when you're in love? How do you know, how do you know when a woman is, you know, she's just a one-night thing, and I'm going to, you know, move on. You know, all these kind of questions that women have, all these questions that women have, but we tend to ask each other and not ask a man. So I started these 30-minute video chats with just anybody, any male who will sit down and talk to me, and I've gotten a very diverse group of, you know, men, age brackets and everything, and it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun. So we sit and talk for 30 minutes, and then I put them on YouTube for, you know, ladies to go out there and replay and say, oh, now I see why it seems like we had a good date,
oh,
and he just stopped calling me. He just stopped calling me. Now I understand why, you know, men do that, you know?
Okay. Lana, my best friend Kenya has just walked into Madam Perry's salon. I know it's a little dim in here, but come on in. Kenya, welcome.
Thank you. Hello, Lana. How are you?
I am well, Kenya. How are you, dear?
I am wonderful. I was catching the last bit of what you were talking about, the posting the videos from the guys on date. I know I missed a little bit. Tell me again. Say that part again. In between calling in, I missed it.
We need a recap, okay, Lana. Give us a recap.
We'll do the quick recap. Okay, for the last month and a half or so, I've been doing these 30-minute video chats with men, and it's called The Male Perspective, Conversations with Lana. And I talk to men of all ages, all different backgrounds, and I get their opinion on, you know, dating, marriage, you know, sex, I mean, just anything, you know. And like I was telling Madam Perry, you know, when women have questions, we sit up there with our coffee and our tea and with the girls, and we ask other girls about, you know, men. And I'm like, I don't know about you guys, but I don't have anything swinging between my legs. So I don't understand how it works. I don't understand what makes you feel that way. So why not ask a guy, why do you do that? What does that mean? You know, so I decided I was going to sit down with the guys and ask them questions, you know. So it's just been phenomenal for me and my growth as a female. I think I am so blessed because these men are complete strangers. When I turn on that camera, they don't know me from Eve. I don't know them from Adam. And they sit down and they give me their honest, open answers. And it's such a beautiful thing. It's such a beautiful thing.
Ah, I love it. Absolutely love the concept. That's pretty good. Just from the men themselves.
From the men themselves. The male perspective. So, you know,
and
like I said, you get
your these.
Oh, they're on my YouTube channel, so you can just go to YouTube and type in Lana Reed, and my channel will come up, and you'll see, you know, the different conversations that I've had with various men.
Okay.
If there's any guys out there listening, you know, like I said, I will talk to you. But as a matter of fact, you ladies are in Georgia, right?
Yes.
There is a barbershop.
Can you tell?
I can hear the twang.
It's
a twang. It is truly a Georgia twang. But I was going to say there's a barbershop. There's a barbershop in Atlanta, and the name escapes me right now. My 47 years is kicking in. But they've actually asked me to come live on location to have one of these conversations. So I might be down there to see you ladies soon.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Invite us out.
There's some guys in Atlanta, and then there's a group of guys in Raleigh that have reached out and said, could you come and do this live on location? So, you know, we'll see. You know, I'm just, like I was saying earlier, I just go wherever I'm supposed to go. Wherever the steps take me, that's, hey, I don't fight it anymore. If this is what you want me to do, okay, I'm going to do that.
Love it. Absolutely love the concept. And I love that barbershop talk, that beauty parlor shop. I love those. I love those all the time. You get the real. You get the real.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, and like I said, you know, the guys, they're just so wonderful to me because they're open, you know, they're honest. I mean, I've talked to some guys, you know, that are definitely in pain about, you know, when relationships go bad and, you know, you have this battle with, can I see my kids, or, you know, the child support when the woman's being difficult or whatever, and they're really open about, you know, how that makes them feel and those struggles to be a parent, to be a father. I mean, it's just so much you learn, just so much you learn. And I think for me personally, you know, when that time comes again, you know, it's just going to be so beneficial to whatever relationship that I get myself into.
Definitely. Well, I have a show, Blog Talk Show, Everything Relationships, and we constantly, this is what we discuss. We discuss these topics and just thousands of more. There's so many of them. But we take that same view from the male, from the female, and allow them to talk on the air. But I would love to invite you out sometimes. Let me just say this. Jennifer knows every time I come on,
Oh, that's right. Stealing my guest. Kenya, it's a compliment. It's a compliment. I tease you. I do. Lana, I've known Kenya, I've been friends a long time, so she should know that I'm teasing her when I say, oh, you're going to steal my guest, but it's a compliment.
Yeah. I do. Every time I hear the greatest guest, I call in and be like, hey, what you doing?
Too. Well, I tell you like this, wherever you need me to be, I am there for you. I just really believe that, you know, I'm supposed to be here to give back as much as I can. So if you want to hear me run my mouth for whatever, I'm there for you, lady. I'll run my mouth.
Lana Reed talking to getting the view from the male perspective, what would we be surprised? What would women be surprised to know about what men think?
About what men think?
About relationships or?
Like what would women be surprised to know about men?
Yeah, but what would surprise us to know that men, men think that? Wow, I had no idea.
Oh, okay.
Are they more sensitive than we think? Are they?
Oh, yeah. You know, the common thing that I get from men is that they really love harder than we do, except it's hard because they're living with the societal standards of manhood, so they can't show it. But really, love, breakups, whatever, really hits their heart, you know, stronger than us. You know, we could do some ice cream with a blanket for the weekend, you know, and we're good come Monday, but they're feeling that pain for weeks and months later, you know, if it's a breakup or whatever. So love is much more strong and painful of an emotion for a man than it is for us. And I think that
well,
a lot of women don't appreciate
that. You gotta come on.
I don't think women appreciate that, you know. And like I said, you have to understand the dynamics that men are working in, because society says, well, you know, man up. You can't, you know, you can't show your weakness for this lady. You can't show, you know, that you really like her. So, you know, you're man up or whatever. So it causes them a lot of times, you know, to hold in their pain. And, you know, that can express itself in so many different ways. And that's just like a whole different conversation, but, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah, but I think that's what they would like, you know. A common theme I hear is they want women to appreciate the way that they love and how they love and the strength of the manner and the way they love.
Love that. Yeah. I would love to hear some guys saying that and mean it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And mean it, right? I tell people all the time, you know, I think with relationships, because this is another topic that I talk about all the time, relationships, where we're at right now in society, I'm really not in a happy place as an onlooker at where we're at. Mm-hmm. But what I tell people all the time is we have, as men and women, we have taught each other how to treat each other, how to date each other.
Ooh,
so if a woman is mad because she can't meet a good pool of men to date, she has herself and her fellow co-women out there to blame, because it's not like a man woke up yesterday and said, you know what, I'm just going to dog this lady. He's had some years of practicing to get to that way. So some women have taught him in his past, this is how you do this. This is okay. So if collectively men and women say, you know what, I want to be treated this way, this is optimal treatment I should treat another human being. So our relationships with each other, will get better. You know, we'll have better expectations, you know. But the state that we are in now, we have taught each other this is how we should treat each other. And now we're walking around saying, oh, I'm miserable, I'm unhappy, but you did this. We did this collectively. Nobody got this way on their own. They didn't wake up yesterday. And so, you know, we have to hold ourselves accountable.
No, we say that all the time on my show, Everything Relationships. That's exactly what we say that all the time. We really do. Because everything is a relationship, whether it's romantic or not, whether our friendship or our family, regardless of who we're in relationships, even our coworkers. But we do teach each other how to treat each other. I agree wholeheartedly.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
You're on point with that one.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, you know, when we know better, we do better. But unfortunately, we have so many people out there who don't seem to know better. So, you know, it's just how to get a plan together, you know, and get some sanity in male-female relationships. And like you said, it could be, it doesn't have to be romantic. It's just how do you deal with your male-female co-worker relationships? How do you, you know, your friends that you, you know, hang out with on Saturday night, you know, play spades with or whatever, you know, it's mm-hmm. all of our male-female mm-hmm. interactions because we're constantly in a position to teach each other how to treat each other in our day-to-day mm-hmm. interactions, you know, so. That's my soapbox.
Good soapbox.
Where can people, because I know people want to, where can people go, what is your website, Earl, and what other social media where people can find you and catch your shows, your podcast, your shows, your schedules for motivational speaking, or to hire you?
Okay, my website is Lana Reed, LanaReid, LanaReid.com. It has all my social media on there, my Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I tend to be, and I'm going to be quite honest now, I have a love-hate relationship with social media, so I feel like I feel like there's days where, you know, I should go a few days without saying anything as a means to reclaim my life because social media can be a job. So, you know, sometimes I'm present and sometimes I'm not, but I'm still floating around there, you know, doing my thing. But I do have Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, you know. And you can contact me there at my email, Lana, L-A-N-A, at LanaReid.com. I will go and speak and talk to anybody who feels like I have something of value to contribute to them. My grandmother, she told me something at a very young age. And, you know, she said, baby, when they put you 6 feet under, this world should be a better place because you were here. And I try to live that every day. I try to do that every day.
Yeah,
and you know I just get up every day and try to be that person.
That's beautiful. Wow, that really is.
I come from good. I come from good stock. What can I say?
You come from good stock. I told you, good fine quality stock. You'll have to go back to the beginning of this, Kenya.
I come from good stock, you know.
And you know, so if you would just give before we end, if you would give the listeners the name of your shows.
I got sidetracked bragging about my parents and my grandparents. I'm sorry. Okay, the name of my
that's beautiful.
The name of my radio show. The name of my radio show is called Don't Box Me In. That's really my motto, you know, when I became a widow and a single parent, you know, everybody around me was kind of treating me with kid gloves, like, okay, she's going to crack any minute, she's going to break any minute, and I was so irritated with that, like, you know, don't do that to me, you know, I'm going to be okay, I'm going to rise mm-hmm. above this, you know, my husband married a kick, I don't know, Ken, we're on Blog Talk Radio, right? You know, my husband married a kick-ass woman, so I'm supposed to get out here and kick-ass every day. So don't try to baby me and pamper me. You know, I'm going to go out here, and me and my baby girl, we're going to be all right. Don't box me in to that, oh, the grieving widow, the single mother, oh, whoa, let's feel sorry for her. Don't do that to me. So, you know, that became my concept for the show, you know, and I talked to people, you know, who have went through some challenges in life and have just excelled and overcome and, you know, just done some amazing things. You know, I had a guest, your guest that you gave me today, you know, we just tipped the iceberg on her life story. But, you know, you sit and you kind of feel what she's gone through and you're saying to yourself, Lana, okay, well, really, you don't have to complain. You have no room for complaints about anything, baby girl. Just go over the corner and shut up, you know, because life is pretty good over here, you know. So, you know, that's really the mindset behind my show, you know, to show people, show my audience, like, yes, life gets rough. Yes, life kicks you in the teeth. Yes, life is unbearable sometimes, but that is not the conclusion of it. You can pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and have some awesome, phenomenal days ahead of you, but that is a personal choice you have to make for yourself. So that's Don't Box Me In. I take live on Wednesdays on TalkZone, TalkZone.com. You can catch it there. It replays once a day on TalkZone, and then, like I said, it's syndicated. I think I do have the syndicated stations on my website. If not, I'll have to get on my designer, but I think it's on my website there. And I don't know. I've ran my mouth so much. Is there something else you wanted me to say, Madam Perry?
I wanted people to know where they can find the title of your book, your shows. I want people to know where to find you. I know that. Was there something else? Sweet. Yes, Lana, there is. I want you to say whatever your heart tells you to say. That's what I want you to say. Yes.
You know, I just get to run in my mouth. I'm like, wait a minute. She wanted me to say something. Now, what is that? Okay. Yeah, I think I'm going to have to start taking some. What is that? Ginkgo loba, whatever like that. Cause
oh, ginkgo loba, but you have to remember, Lana, I have the funniest story about that. Okay, so I bought this big bottle of ginkgo biloba, right? And I was I'm going to take this stuff because my memory is so bad. The problem is I kept forgetting to take it from my memory. It never got better.
Hey, and I thought that was just a lame joke, Lana. And then I'm over at Kenya's house and I look in the cabinet for something. And I pick up, oh, ginkgo, Kenya. This expired 2 years ago. Do you know this?
If I could only remember to take it.
You know, this expired, honey.
I've gotten so bad now. I just let it go. I know who I am.
Yeah.
So I have this wonderful smartphone, and I just type these alarm things in my smartphone, and it's like, Lana, do this. Lana, do that. Because, you know, my mind just goes in so many different places, and it's like, you know, you were supposed to do that. Oh, yeah, huh. Okay. And then whatever. But, hey, you know, I really do try. You gotta love me for trying.
Well,
I mean,
I do.
I'm sure I'm just one of the many, many, many people that think you are perfect exactly as you are, Lana.
Definitely.
And I'm just so thrilled and honored. Give us the title of your book for people listening.
Okay, I have two books out. The first one that I wrote was a collection of poetry, and that was after my husband passed, and that's called My Love Notes to a Black Man. And then a couple years later, I wrote another book, thanks to my four-legged critters here, and it's called Survival Tips My Cats Taught Me. And it's a self-help book, little pointers, you know, that you know, I watch my cats and I say to myself, you know, Lana, if you just really did what your cats did, you know, maybe life really wouldn't be so difficult, you know. And, you know, so it's kind of a self-help book based on the insight of cats. And,
wow.
You think about it. You throw a cat in the water, and cats don't like water. So what they swim. So that's my, like, when life throws you in the water, hell or high water, swim and get out of there. You know what I'm saying? So,
well,
you know, I just was
think
sitting there.
Swim. Think swim.
Yeah, so I was just looking at my cats like, wow, if I just did the things that they did, man, life would be so much easier. I'm sitting up here just going upstream, just fighting this battle. And, you know, cats are so cool. They're so laid back. They're like, yo, whatever, you know, cool. You know, it happens, you know.
You know, Kenya, this might be the lesson that you and I needed to hear tonight. You know it?
Yeah, really. Seriously. Oh, my God.
I think she's saying we need to slack and get some catnip. That's what she's saying. Just roll around our back and get some catnip and a toy.
Yeah, I tell you, it doesn't get any better. You know, I love dogs to death, but dogs tend to be a little bit more hyper, and they take, you know, more involvement. Cats are just kind of, you know, life is good, you know, feed me every now and then, give me a toy, yeah, we'll make it work, you know, oh, where's the sun? Let me play in the sun, you know. So, you know, life is good. So, you know, you want to get to that place. You just want to get to that peaceful place. And I love to tell people, the older I get, July 8th, I'll be 47, you know, I really believe that each day should be more peaceful. Like, if you are 50, 55, and you still have daily drama, like, you really need to step back and reevaluate, like, what are you doing wrong? Because those second phase of life, really should be those. I'm just, you wake up every day and just, mm-hmm. I'm just happy to be here. What are we going to do? And let's take on the world. And it's just a wonderful
exactly.
thing. And you really should be in that place in life. That chaotic time, that's 20, 30, you know, mm-hmm. you're trying to put it together. You're trying to figure out what life is about. You're trying to figure out what you're about. But by the time you get to,
yeah.
you know, pushing 50, it shouldn't really be too chaotic. So, you know, I really
mm-mm.
try to stay in that place. I just really try to stay in that peaceful place.
You know, Kenya and I have been friends since 1999, and we both had shared situations with a lot of people that have tried to bring a lot of drama into our lives and a lot of pain and
mm-hmm.
a lot of drama. But you know what? You know what, Lana? They're all
mm-hmm.
dead now. But that's all we're going to say.
Hopefully the bodies are not buried in the backyard or anything, right?
Are you kidding? We hate lawn work. Are you crazy? We hate yard work.
Never catch us digging out in the backyard, that's for sure.
Good Lord, no.
That'll
my husband
never happen.
My plants and just put them there and, like, toss a little dirt over the top, and he goes, and you wonder why they don't grow? You don't even dig a hole for them. I said, well, look, if they want to live, they'll dig it. They'll get their own hole.
Get them out of here.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to let you go. Lana Reed, I am so thrilled that you joined me here tonight at Madame Perry Salon. I do hope you won't be a stranger. Hope you'll come back again. And everybody, Lana, you can go to Lana Reed, LanaReid.com. That'll let you know everything. You can get her books, watch her shows, and maybe hire as a motivational speaker. I think you can tell now if there's anybody you want to hire as a motivational speaker, it's Lana Reed. So
yes,
definitely
yes.
check this out. And also I have her information here on the Blog Talk Radio page, and I'll be sharing it on the Madame Perry Salon page on Facebook. Also, if you want to know how to do your own DIY publicity, if you're an author or musician, check out my website, Lone Wolf Communications, LLC. Definitely listen to my number one BFF, Kenya Colbert, Friday nights, 9 to 11 p.m. on Everything Relationships on Blog Talk Radio. And
I'll be there.
Ladies, I think
we're
taking care of it.
I have enjoyed
it. And you better listen, if you come to Atlanta, you know you need to see Kenya and I for real. You need to get with us and let us
I will be
definitely.
There.
And
yes,
Lana, check me out tomorrow night. We have a great show tomorrow, and it's called Dreams Deferred. Does Dreams Deferred Cause Bitterness? So just check me out if you want to. I would love for you to come on to my show as well.
Kenya, no, you don't.
What time?
9 p.m.
It's not Friday night, not tomorrow night. Friday night.
Oh, today is not Thursday?
No,
oh
baby.
God,
no,
never
baby.
Mind.
No. Yeah, see, we can tell you don't take your ginkgo over, right? We can tell.
I told y'all I don't take this. I'm going to start sleeping with it, though. That's what I'm going to start doing, sleeping with it.
I take it intravenously, Kenya. My brother was a crackhead. He'll show us how to do it, okay?
I wish you could add it to coffee. I just wish you could add it to coffee because I never forget that.
Oh, no. I tell people all the time, I am not the same woman without a cup of coffee. Like, you would not want to even approach me for conversation without a cup of coffee.
I'm still trying to get over that tomorrow's not Friday. Sorry, ladies. Carry on.
All right.
Friday,
and so now,
Friday at 9 o'clock.
I hate to go.
Yes.
I hate to go, but I can't wait till you come to Atlanta. We can see you. Thanks again to
yes.
my guest here, Madame Perry Salon, the sensational Lana Reed, and BFF, the amazing Queen Diva, Kenya Colbert. And I am Madame Perry saying, join us again. I love you all. Be nice to everybody.